Romans chapter 1. I'm going to jump down to verse 8 tonight and start there. I'm skipping over a few verses just a little bit, but there's just no way to cover everything and do it effectively. But there's a word in verse 8. It's the beginning of a new thought. The first seven verses are basically the salutation. He says in verse 7, to all that be in Rome. And then he says in verse 8, first, and he makes a comment about himself. Now you got to remember, Paul had never been to Rome. He knew a lot of these people. In fact, he knew them well enough that the last chapter is just salutation after salutation. Hey, tell so-and-so hello, and you know. But he never had actually been there. He wanted to go there. And so he's writing them with, we just talked about it in prayer, the Romans Road. Perhaps, I suspect, it's easy to say this is the clearest sequential presentation of the gospel to be found anywhere in the Bible. I'm going to give you a challenge. Would you be willing to lead somebody to the Lord and not use Romans? That's tough, huh? You could, but you sure do like Romans, don't you? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 5:8, is it? God commendeth his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says in Romans that the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. And then you come to Romans chapter 10. He says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a good message. How many times have you given that message? It was given out this week, wasn't it? I was visiting some folks last night, and there was a man there. I know he's not saved. He's very, very nervous around me. He's not quite sure what to make of me. He knows I'm a pastor, and I'm just trying to be nice to him and win him. And by the way, you know, sometimes before you win the soul, you got to win the person. And it's important not just to have the right message, but to be a good messenger. And so anyway, as Paul writes these folks, he's going to tell them some things about himself as messenger. And he says, first, what's the first thing Paul wants them to know about him? Now, just hold that thought. You're going to start reading and get ahead of me here if you're not careful, okay? What is it that people see about you and I first? What's the first thing someone notices about you? Don't answer. Just think with me. It's your appearance, isn't it? If I came into church Sunday morning, I hate to even describe this. It's so disgusting. And I was wearing flip-flops and a T-shirt with no sleeves and the knee-length cutoffs, and I walked up here to preach. Would that bother anybody? Wouldn't you wonder a little bit what happened to Pastor Schaefer's coat? You know, all of his clothes are dirty today. Mrs. Schaefer didn't do the laundry again this week, I guess, huh? Now, I know there's some people here, and we've talked about this, and the Bible says God looks on the heart, and I know that too. But the first thing people notice about us is how we look, isn't it? When you go soul winning, you dress up a little, you don't dress down. Amen? Now, I know some people that think you should wear a shirt and a tie. This is Arizona, folks. Ties are optional. The first time I lived here, my wife and I lived here in 86, and I got a job. It was on the other side of town. Oh, we were only here for 3 months. And the first day I showed up at work with a tie on, they looked at me like, it's June. You're in Arizona, and you're wearing a tie? Take that thing off, you know. But the way we look makes the first impression, doesn't it? And then after that, I just want you to say this plainly. I think there's some ways we shouldn't look. There's some things that we shouldn't do. But anyway, then the next thing is going to be when you start to talk, isn't it? And if you ever met somebody and you talk to them, you said hello and they said hello, and about a minute later you're thinking, oh, this poor person, oh, they've got so many problems. And you've only been talking to them for a minute or two. I was doing an inspection about 3 or 4 years ago in a place near downtown, and there was this forklift driver down there. And you didn't have to talk to that fellow, but just about 30 seconds, and you could realize something's not right here. I tried to help him, and I witnessed to him, and he claimed he was saved, and he had some really strange thoughts. When we begin to tell people who we are or talk about ourselves a little bit, they can tell pretty quick. And so what's the first thing Paul's going to say to these folks? This is very important, I think, in verse 8. Look at this. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Who are you thankful for? You got to be thankful, amen? I think about Joe Mark. I am thankful for Joe Mark. I think about Thomas Corkish, the man that trained me. I'm thankful for Thomas Corkish. And I think about you folks. I'm thankful for you. When I came in tonight, I look up and I see certain people here, and I'm thankful for Israel tonight. Amen? I like Israel. He's my friend. And amen? And you live for the Lord. Don't be wicked. You hear me? Aren't you thankful for the folks that God... Folks, God gave us each other. Paul, however, doesn't know these folks, not all of them at least, as well. But he says, here's what I do know about you. Look at verse 8. I'm thankful for you that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Can you listen to that and just think, really? The whole world knew about Rome? Now, don't go to this Catholic thing. There was no Catholic Church. There was no Roman Catholic anything. The Catholic Church didn't exist until about 300 AD, thereabouts. And he's not talking about the Roman Catholics. He's talking about a group of believers at Rome, and people in Jerusalem, and people in Galatia, and people in Ephesus, and people at Philippi, and people at Thessalonica, and people everywhere were saying, have you heard about the faith of those folks in Rome? Now, you got to remember, this is in the days of the Roman Empire, right? And has anybody here ever been to Rome? Okay, a few people. You go to the Forum and see the area down there, and they'll tell you some of the history. Those were wicked people. The leadership was wicked. The morals in Rome were very, very horrible. And to live in Rome, to be that close to that wickedness and to be a Christian, that would be impressive. Paul says, I thank God for you folks. I thank God. First of all, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I think it's pretty clear people ought to be able to see our faith. Amen? Now, how's the best way for someone to see your faith? That may not be easy to answer. You can say that you have faith, but what James, we're back to James again, what did James say about faith? He says, if a man says he has faith, he says, show me your faith by your works. Amen? Faith is evidenced by what you do and by what you don't do, not just by what you say. And so Rome had a testimony of being faithful, not just they didn't just have a great church flyer or some good conversation. They had action to back it up. And folks, when you have faith, it will change the way you live. Amen? First, he says, he's got a gratitude here. He says, God is my witness in verse 9, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Did you hear that? God is my witness. You know, you might say you pray for somebody. Paul says, God knows. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. That's a little bit convicting, isn't it? I'm thankful for you, he says, and I want you to know I always pray for you. We ought to pray for each other. But there's some other folks we need to be praying for as well. There's some missionaries we need to be praying for. There's some other, we've got a list of members in the prayer sheet and a list of missionaries in the prayer sheet and a list of needs in the prayer sheet. And folks, we ought to be faithful to pray. Paul says, I want you to know something. I'm thankful for you, and I pray for you all the time, and I'm willing to call God as my witness that I really do that. Folks, let's be faithful in prayer. Let's be faithful in prayer. Amen? So now he says in these two verses about his gratitude, and then he has a goal. That's the second thing I want you to see, and it begins in verse 10. He's talking about his prayers, and he says, making request. if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul's goal was to come to them. He talks about any means. He says that he longs to be with them. He says, I long in verse 11 to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Well, let's just stop right there for a minute. He didn't just want to go see them just to say hi. He wanted to be a blessing to them. I think in some cases, I'm about to preach to the choir, but maybe not. Every one of us ought to have that goal to be a blessing to other people. Amen? And here's the way it works. If we are constantly looking for a way to be a blessing to other people, and if we're all doing that, what a happy group we'll have. Amen? What a selfless group we'll have. You know, a lot of the times we can do things to bless ourselves. I found out something a long time ago. God knows how to bless me better than I know how to bless me. So rather than me trying to bless me, what if we did it this way? I'll try to be a blessing to other people, and then God in return is a blessing to me. Do you trust God that much? Does God love you? We heard about that this morning in our devotion, more than we can understand. And he loves us. And so it goes back to kind of what Carlos said. I'm stretching it a little bit, but I've seen it so often I wanted to mention it tonight. What happens is you knock on this door and that child comes to ride the bus. Or you go over here and you try to win somebody to Christ and this person comes to church and gets saved. And it's just like he said, he nailed it. It's God doing the work. So if you and I had that goal, Paul wants to be a blessing to these folks. He wants to establish them. He wants to build them up, not tear them down. And he's gonna give them some very encouraging words here as the book goes along. But he says, I want to come to you. I long to see you because I want to impart to you a spiritual gift so that I can establish you. He knows something. The more established they are in Christ, the better off they're going to be. Constantly, we're trying to teach our children especially to live their life for the Lord and not for themselves. Because I'm just telling you once again, God knows how to bless you better than you know how to bless you. And when you live for the Lord, he'll take good care of you. When I heard the news this morning, I was sitting at my desk. I was working on Bible class. I think it was about 9:30, 9:45, 10 o'clock maybe. And I got a text message from the man that is now the pastor of the church that I used to pastor in Maryland. And he said, had you heard that evangelist Joe Mark passed away? And he sent me a link to the obituary. And I had not heard. But the first thought I had was not sadness. The first thought I had was, wow, that man was faithful, 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 and now his struggles are ended. And now his trials are over. And he's going to be one of those people that I know, I have no doubt in my mind, when he steps into the presence of Christ, he's going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What are you going to hear when you step in front of Christ? Amen? Now, we could tell people we're faithful, but once again, the faith of the Romans was evidenced by what they did. And as we think about stepping into eternity, that's when the truth will be told. He wants to establish them spiritually. Look at verse 12. So he says, and he's explaining himself, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Let me read that again. That I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Isn't it good to be around other people that have faith too? Here we are. What a blessing. I enjoy the privilege of working in a place and spending all day in a place to where we're all here because we want to serve the Lord. We start out in the morning with a devotion from the Bible, and we take prayer requests and pray. And throughout the day, here we are together, and we're working in a common goal to get the gospel out, to do all the things that happen to keep the church going and pay the bills and move the money and make the deposits and pull the weeds or whatever it is. And everything that we do here, it's all about furthering the gospel. And as Paul writes these folks, he says, you know, I'm looking forward to being with you because we can share faith with each other. We can talk about how good God is. We can talk about what God's done. We can talk about how wonderful the Lord's love is in our life. And he says it's a mutual thing in verse 12, a mutual faith. So then in verse 13, he says, "Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let," and that word let means prevented or kept back, "was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles." Now, what do I see in verse 13? As we learn today, things don't always go the way you want them to, do they? But you don't quit. Things aren't always, you know, you set out to go off and serve God that day and something bad happens. Or something stops you, or something gets in your way, or, you know, I got the text from Brother Ebersole this morning, a phone call, that Eva was in the hospital, and I saw on my phone Carlos Ebersole, and I thought, uh-oh, something's wrong. And sure enough, Eva's in the hospital, and that disrupts your day and reschedules things a little bit. But folks, that's just part of serving God. Things don't always go the way you want, but that doesn't mean God's not in control. And so Paul's got this goal. He wants to go see them, and he understands something. Sometimes you got to keep on trying. Sometimes you got to keep on pushing. Sometimes you just got to keep on serving until things come together. And folks, be faithful. This is all about faith, isn't it? He talks about their faith, talks about his faithfulness. So he says, first, there's a gratitude. Then there's a goal. But it all comes back to this in verse 14. He says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." It's all about the gospel. It's all about the gospel. That's his ultimate objective. He wants to. Now, why would you preach the gospel to folks that are already saved? Yeah, two thoughts. Maybe they're not already saved. And don't you like to hear the gospel one more time? I love to tell the story. And we talk about hearing it again and again, but I never get tired of hearing it, and you don't either. He says in verse 16, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's a powerful gospel that Paul wanted to preach. His concern was for all men. He talked about the Greeks and the barbarians and the wise and the unwise. His commitment was absolute. He said, "As much as is in me, as much as strength as I have," he says, "I want to preach the gospel," because he had a confidence that it was the power that would save. And it is, and if you're going to read that verse, he says, "It is the power of God unto salvation." We are not the power of God. The gospel is. I really enjoy in Exodus. I'm thinking about teaching it in Sunday school. And Exodus, God comes to Moses, and God says to Moses, and for Israel, this is a review, buddy. Listen up carefully. It's going to be on the test. And Andrew also. God comes to Moses, and God says, "Go to Pharaoh. Tell him to let Israel go. He's going to say no. And then I'm going to show you how powerful, and show him how powerful I am." And Moses says, "Lord, I can't speak well." You ever feel that way? And I can't tell you the whole story for the sake of time and detail, but after he's met with Pharaoh once or twice, and Pharaoh has said, "No, no, no," Moses says to the Lord, "See, I told you, I can't speak well." In other words, he's blaming the situation on his inability. But remember when Moses was first called, God said to Moses, who made man's mouth? And he said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you Aaron. He can talk. He'll help you out." And then what's funny is later on, if you go through what's happening, before you know it, Moses is doing all the talking anyway. And by the way, Pharaoh wasn't saying no because of the way Moses spoke. Pharaoh was saying no because God hardened his heart. Because he hardened his heart. Because he didn't want to let Israel go because of what he was getting from them. It had nothing to do with Moses. It was Pharaoh's hard heart that was the problem. And folks, you and I may not be eloquent, we may not be talented, we may not have a gift of gab or any of those kind of things. Just give folks the gospel. It is the power, not us. Amen? So what Paul's doing here, and I'm out of time, is he's just telling these folks a bit about himself as the messenger. His gratitude, his proper gratitude for them. His primary goal to come see him, to establish them and to help them. The powerful gospel, which is the thing that can save people. He's not ashamed of that, he says in verse 16. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Do you believe? Do you believe, Israel? Amen? I believe. Joe Mark believed. I was reading his obituary today, and in the lower part, it said something about it. It says, he's not alone because hundreds of people trusted Christ under his preaching. No, thousands. Maybe tens of thousands. 50 years. If he saw one person saved every week for 50 years, that's more than hundreds. And wouldn't that be great when you step into eternity? Let's say it differently. Won't it be great when you step into eternity and you meet those folks that you led to Christ? Because the gospel has power and you gave them the gospel? That's going to be exciting. Paul wants you to know a little bit about himself. And the first thing he says, I've got a gratitude. I'm thankful for your faith. I got a goal. I want to come and establish you some more. I've got a gospel, and I'm going to come preach that to you. In fact, we're going to listen to that gospel as we go through Romans. It's the power of God. Amen? You say, Pastor, I feel weak. That's okay. The gospel's strong. Pastor, I feel weak. That's okay. God said, when you're weak, I'm strong, he said. Amen? I think we're going to be all right. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.